If composers capture the sweep of a movie, then songwriters must hit dead center on a movie's heart. Think of The Streets of Philadelphia from the movie Philadelphia, or Moon River from Breakfast at Tiffany's, or The Way We Were from, well, you know. Those songs all won Academy Awards for their writers. This year, five more are up for Best Song. Our old friend Murray Horowitz joins us now, Broadway lyricist, opera lyricist, and director of the American Film Institute Theater in Silver Spring, Maryland. He's out at our studios at NPR West. Murray, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here from the home of the movies, Southern California.
Competitive field this year?
Yeah, it is a competitive field. Not that these are, I'm bound to say, all terrific songs, but they're all good. They all do the job that film songs need to do. And so, yeah, I think it's hard to predict a winner.
Well, all right, let's go to the tape. Movie Cold Mountain, of course, that's a Civil War tale set in North Carolina, shot in Romania, if I'm not mistaken. Two nominations in the Best Song category. They're both sung by Alison Krauss. Murray, what's the key to making a period film work musically for a contemporary audience?
When it's a period piece, it's got to somehow make you believe that it could have been around at that time. So mm-hmm. It gives you that feel. But it also has to work for a contemporary audience.
First song we're going to hear, music and lyrics by Sting, You Will Be My Ain True Love.
And as he walks through death's dark lane, the cannon's thunder can't breathe. And those who hunt me down will fail. And you will be my true.
Now, would it have been totally confusing to for Sting to write, you will be my one true love? I mean...
Well, actually, AIM stands for own. It's a good hook to remember the song. People have said to me, what's that song, AIM? It makes it sound authentic.
There's the third nomination for Sting.
Right. Sting is one of the great contemporary songwriters. He's a great star, and he sort of gave himself up for this song because it doesn't have any of the signatures of a pop tune. It's like a plain song or chant, and as a result, I think it's hard to imagine this song existing out of the context of Cold Mountain.
T-Bone Burnett, certainly known more recently for O Brother, Where Art Thou,
right.
He put together much of the period feel of the music to Cold Mountain. Now, this is a song he wrote with Elvis Costello, The Scarlet
yep.
Tide.
I thought I heard a blackbird tone. A little bird did sing. Man has no choice when he wants everything. We'll rise above the sky.
Again, a song that sounds as if it's from the period, and yet there's an edge that's more contemporary, isn't there?
Right. Well, it's Elvis Costello and T-Bone Burnett. But Elvis Costello, I'm bound to say it, lets himself off a little easily with regard to rhyme.
Man goes beyond his own decision, gets caught up in the mechanism.
That's a little anachronistic. But the melody is wonderful, and it makes this song, in terms of melody, the best of a rather unmelodic batch.
Let me ask you about this next song. It seemed to serve sort of double duty in the Triplets of Belleville. It's called Belleville Rendezvous.
Singing Belleville Rendezvous. I don't dance in good do. Voodoo, come, belly taboo. Belleville's wiser.
Music is by Benoit Charest, lyric by Sylvain Chomet. Murray, what distinguishes this song?
All these songs come from a specific tradition or genre, whether it's, you know, 19th century American folk music or 60s folk pop, or in this case, jazz, swing of the 30s. It's not a great melody, but it creates a kind of breathless energy, and it's a lot of fun.
But of course, this reminds us that the purpose of a song in a movie is to advance the movie.
Right, or at least to enhance the feel and get the audience in a place where the director wants the audience to be. And that's what this song did. This song is repeated many times in many different incarnations in the Triplets of Belleville, and it apparently is very, very effective in creating that kind of mood.
couple of more songs to enjoy. Lord of the Rings has more nominations than any other film this year, and that includes Best Song. Into the West is a song that ends the picture, and it's sung by the inimitable, I do mean that, Annie Lennox.
What can you see?
I am fiercely devoted to Annie Lennox, but this is not the song I will keep in my heart when I think of her.
Well, I mean, again, don't forget, she, who is a co-author of the song, along with Howard Shore and Fran Walsh, needed to accomplish something in the context of the film. This is a lullaby, and it's comforting and reassuring. And again, that's appropriate to the situation. You know, all of your fears will pass away. Mm-hmm. And if you separate it from Annie Lennox's terrific performance, you're right, I think. I don't know that this will be a great song that will live on in the country's or the world's consciousness, but it's effective at the time.
I must say, the one live performance I am most looking forward to at the Oscars is Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara.
Will they kiss? Will they kiss?
Exactly. Singing A Kiss at the End of the Rainbow from A Mighty Wind. And let's
hear it.
Yeah.
Oh, when the veil of dreams has lifted and the fairy tales have all been told, there's a kiss at the end of the rainbow, more precious than a pot of gold.
The song is written by the incomparably talented Michael McKean. I love that man. And Annette O'Toole, who I used to have a big crush on. I have read interviews in which they said, you know, when it got right down to it, this song was not a joke.
It's a tricky job. You're writing a period song, and in a way, you want to, in this case, maybe evoke or even make fun of the genre, but you can't permit yourself to fall into the trap of writing a bad song, because then you're putting a bad song in front of the people. And they're writing for the vocal duo of Mitch and Mickey, two characters in the film. It's got to work dramatically in the film, and they did the job very effectively.
They'll kiss, don't you think?
That's harder to say than to pick the Best Picture Oscar, I think.
Murray, thanks very much. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Scott. I had a great time.
Speaking from NPR West, Murray Horowitz, director of the American Film Institute Silver Theater.
More precious than a pot of gold.
And this is Weekend Edition, directed by Sarah Beyer. Roll out the red carpet, Kelly, and produced by Ed McNulty, Alice Winkler, Darcy Bacon, Bridget McCarthy, Gillian Nolan, Julia Bailey, Janaea Williams, Liz Kaufman, and Evie Stone. Our technical director is Burke Hunn, so ably assisted by Arthur Halliday-Laurent, Kimberly Jones, Chris Nelson, and Brian Sussman. Our librarians are Kim Oleski, Alphonse Veen, and Annie Moffat. Our Aintree editor is Gwendolyn Tompkins, and the senior producer of Weekend Edition Saturday is Peter Breslow. I'm Scott Simon.